This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez and this is The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we look back at the year and explore a theme that has constantly emerged throughout 2017, affordable housing. This year, we saw the government ramp up various housing schemes to help home buyers on the property ladder, such as Prima One, as well as other incentives under Budget 2018. So the best place to begin is really to look at the definition of affordable housing and what people can really afford. As it turns out, different parties define affordable housing differently. Best place to start, let's look at Bank Negara. Bank Negara tends to use an international benchmark when it comes to defining affordable home ownership. So a house is considered affordable if it can be financed by less than 3 times the household's annual income. But here in Malaysia, the median house price is 4.4 times the median annual household income, making the housing market seriously unaffordable compared to global standards. Property developers, however, have a very different definition than that of Bank Negara, and that definition even varies depending on who you ask. Back in July, we spoke to Dato' Hasla Amin, chairman of Matrix Concepts, a property developer in Negeri Sembilan. Here's his definition of affordable housing.
Affordable housing has got different perspective with different place. But in Negeri Sembilan, we are talking about houses below 300,000 to be affordable. We have priced our Ling houses now, currently, is about 500,000-600,000. These are also affordable by KL standard. But for Seremban standard, is like on the higher end.
We spoke to Dato' Izam Yusof, Group Managing Director of Bina Darul Aman, for his take.
500,000 that we use is the definition for at the federal level, at the national level. But in Kedah, the affordable range is defined as 200,000 and below.
We spoke to Tan Sri Lim Hock San, Group Managing Director of LBS Bina Group, for his perspective.
Affordable housing price on different region on different price. In Klang Valley, you can talk about 500,000. In KL, talk about 600,000. In the Batu Pahat, we are selling at 300,000.
We also spoke to Jeffrey Chu, Group CEO of property player Paramount. Jeffrey was on The Breakfast Grill in October, giving his take on affordable housing.
For us, we are very much focused on products that are affordable in a segment between 300,000 to about 600,000. In fact, 90% of our projects in terms of residential are all below 800,000. So in a way, we have recalibrated and to make sure that our products are designed in a way that we can sell it to the market to a wider range of customers. So of course, we are not focusing on selling the real definition of affordable homes, which is 200,000 level. We believe that that segment is actually quite hard for private developers to go in and provide this kind of property.
There are many issues that add to the complexity of the problem of affordable housing. There's the argument that property developers price houses at unaffordable levels to maximise profits at the expense of home buyers. Here's Dato' Hasla of Matrix Concepts again.
No, I think we have been shortchanging the buyers of affordable homes. Because of the high price of land, a lot of developers, you see, I cannot be speaking on behalf of them, but that we notice, yeah? They try to do their affordable housing at the corners, you know, the locality, yeah? We have a different take on this. When we set aside 100 over acres of land to do these 3,000 units, we make sure that we provide the same facilities as what we have provided at Bandar Senayan. We do not want them to be seen. They are actually all affordable house buyers at the far corner. We don't. So we integrate them into our township. But as you see, this is the same problem that when we do low-cost housing those days, we always send them to God-forsaken place. I think this is a wrong strategy. Yeah, because these are, we are providing houses for Malaysians. We should give them the same thing. There shouldn't be any differentiation. Yeah, I think everybody has a right to have a good shelter. So we try our best to meet that, right?
He also revealed that property developers are still able to make money even when building houses for 300,000 ringgit.
You see, the cost of construction, you know, irrespective of whether you say that cement price has gone up or whatever thing has gone up, I don't think when you talk in terms of value that the cost has increased more than 5%. Yeah? So the key here is the land cost, right? As a rule of thumb, the land cost normally should not be more than 20%, okay, of the total cost. But in our case, our land cost is far below than that, right? And because of that, I think the other aspect is the construction. The construction is being done in-house. We have our own construction company. So we are more efficient in terms of managing our resources. In fact, just to add on, that we have just entered into a joint venture with a Japanese company to do IBS construction, which is a way forward that is being promoted by the government. In fact, the factory is now under construction. With IBS, the delivery will be faster, and the average cost over the number of units will be cheaper. So that will also help us to at least maintain all our profit to be about 20% minimum. Yeah.
However, some developers like Jeffrey Chu of Paramount argue that high margins earned by developers is a thing of the past because of rising costs, especially the cost of land.
A lot of people don't understand that properties developers are making a lot more money in the past from the land acquisition, land holding. So it's a profit or land development. But in terms of if you bought the land the last 4 years and you try to develop it, your profit margin generally is in the teens. And this profit margin are actually earned over a period of 5 to 7 years. So in the way, the developer's profit margin are actually not as fat as what a lot of people believe in the market.
One of the ways that developers can provide more affordable products is through reducing costs. However, it seems that many developers are not doing all they can to cut costs, one of which is being slow to adopt industrialized building systems. Dato' Hasla of Matrix Concepts shares his insights on this.
Malaysians are Malaysians. Okay, when you buy a house, you always want to renovate. IBS system, you cannot knock it down. All right, this is one of the things about IBS system. The second thing is, in IBS system, there are so many systems in the market. One of the major complaints is leaking, the joints, and things like that. Yeah, so I think because of that, coupled with the demand from the buyers, people are basically worried that it's not something good for them.
Jeffrey Chu of Paramount Group, however, has a different perspective and argues that we are not ready for IBS. He argues that the industry needs time to adjust, given that IBS is currently more expensive than conventional building methods.
In reality, IBS will be cheaper by 10 to 15%. But in practicality today, because it's not mass produced yet in terms of the product, not all the components are available. Transportation is a different issue. In terms of architecture and design, it's completely not there. So for any developer today to put IBS in place significantly in their project, the cost is actually higher. So the industry has to develop from the perspective of the manufacturing piece to make sure that, and also in consultation with all the projects developers in the country, to make sure that we have standardized module products where the manufacturing cost can be efficient. Then the next question is transportation infrastructure to bring the product to the site. And the site location must be sufficiently have the ability and space to actually adopt that. And even the construction equipment to host those kind of products up to 26 floors, 30 floors, those are all major infrastructures that have not been put in place. So if you were to have to do it on your own, it's going to be more expensive. So I guess the industry have to start somewhere. And I think incentives are important. Incentive to incentivize the manufacturers. Incentive to incentivize people who are involved in the transportation and also in the construction industry as well. To subsidize them, then we can actually, over time, 5 years, 7 years, you can see the saving of 10 to 15%.
In just a few minutes, we'll continue our look into the issues of affordable housing in our Best of the Breakfast Grill in 2017. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Brian Fernandez and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. This year, we spoke to many industry players and thought leaders from the property sector. And almost all of them spoke about the issues surrounding affordable housing. Developers also feel that they have been unnecessarily burdened with additional compliance costs that prevent them from building cheaper homes. We spoke to Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar of RADAR for his perspective.
I think it is the cost, the compliance costs, and the expectation and demand of everybody. I think we want to help to build affordable homes. RADAR as a whole, our stand is, but in helping us to do and achieve that, you have to be fair to us. You can't keep on increasing your conversion premium charges. You can't keep on increasing your development charges, your IFS, and keep on introducing new things, new policies, to take some fees off us. That's one. Secondly, like I said, you have this major infrastructure companies. I don't want to talk about other things. I just want to talk about water and electricity. These companies, I've put it on record, making record profit year after year. Yet, they are putting in a lot more charges onto us, putting on a lot more levy. And I've explained before this, let's say 20 years ago, anything within our development, it is our responsibility to build. To pull the water pipes, to pull the electricity cables and whatnot. But now, they're even asking us to pull from the next available supply. We have to pull the water pipes. We have to pull the cables and whatnot. This costs a lot of money, not only within our... And on top of that, we have to surrender land. We even have to build the shell for their substations. We have to build the reservoir. So these are things that they're asking us to do. At the end of the day, we have to pass this on to the consumers. Yet we are the ones who are getting them, the customers. They should also assist with the upfront costs, because these are all upfront costs.
What can the government do at state and federal level to help developers build affordable housing? Here again is Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar.
The government must look at, give a lower tax rate for people who are building affordable homes. Give higher density or plot ratio. So all these things helps. You know, definitely developers also need to play the part. And developers also need to know, hey, this is for affordable homes, okay, this is my margin. I will make it from this other side because it's cross-subsidy.
Jeffrey Chu of the Paramount Group gives his opinion as well.
I think we hope that the government will look at it seriously, not just from a perspective of pushing and in terms of giving condition for people who do government projects that you need to be IBS, but I think it has to be holistic. You know, it has to study specifically what does the manufacturer require in terms of incentive and also transportation in all different areas in terms of the IBS. But in terms of affordable homes, lands are actually very scarce. And it's very expensive. So in any way, in order for the developers to actually able to produce property that are affordable, I think one of the areas is that the government should actually look at JVs with the private sector in a way to help to elevate the high cost of land, as well as also other contribution, for example, extension of lease, you know, conversion premiums, and a lot of other contribution from other utilities that we need to put in place. So all this is something that has to come together to make sure that we can price the product at that level.
Another issue plaguing the market is the mismatch between demand and supply, which analysts say is causing an overhang in the property market. We spoke to Tan Sri Lim Hock San, Group Managing Director of LBS Boehner Group, for his perspective.
Depend on where the location. The location in KL should be okay. Klang Valley should be okay. I don't know what the number, in other location, you see.
Dato' Murali Manokaran, Group CEO of Aspen Group, had something to say about this. He spoke to Tan Chung Han in July on The Breakfast Grill.
I think if you have products that cost 200 to 400,000 and you still have an overhang of stock, that's only mean one thing. It is in the wrong location. Right. The market
is it that simple though?
Oh yes, it is. Of course, people talk about the ability of not getting end financing and stuff like that. Right. But look at our products. Because affordable housing is required in an urban environment. You don't build 20, 40 kilometers away and call that as affordable. That is price affordable. The middle income, those families that are starting out, new families and new graduates, they are looking at an environment where it's closer to where they work with all the amenities. So as long as your location is right, and you do have that real affordable mean into your products, which covers not just the price, the quality of the product, the locations and the amenities, the facilities, and how do you position the product, I think you should be able to do well. I think a lot of developers are doing well in the locations that are prime properties locations. But those maybe in an area where it's least primes or not so much appreciated by the consumer, I think that's where the overhangs are.
We spoke to Dato' Sri F.D. Iskandar of RADAR for an industry perspective.
Well, basically, I'm talking about the location. When we are asked to build affordable homes, we are asked to build affordable homes across board. Whether you are in a location where there is demand or not, you are asked to. This is the standard regulation or policy by state government.
Loan approval rates were also cited as a factor preventing buyers from being able to buy homes. We spoke to Tan Sri Lim Hock San, Group Managing Director of LBS Payner Group, for his perspective.
So I think another problem these people face, because they are this affordable home, the government has set this 6,000 per month or 8,000 per month, and they cannot get loan. So many of that people, this is a problem also facing. So like Rumah Selangorku, I was told that the demand is there, but there may be a problem to get loan. So I think this is government should look into this better. Last year we sold 1.20 billion, and because the cancellation around 800 million, our actual sales last year is 1.238 billion. And in other words, we can say that the rejection rate is around 40%.
However, according to Bank Negara, they reckon that the situation has improved. They say that housing loan approval rates are at 70% or higher, and that 72% of applicants are in fact first-time buyers. Bank Negara elaborated that the common reasons given for loan rejections were the fact that borrowers either had a poor financial track record or little residual income. This data debunks the common misconception that banks are not approving loans for housing buyers. So what can the government do to help first-time buyers? We spoke to Tan Sri Lim Hock San, Group Managing Director of LBS Payner Group, for his perspective.
Of course, as a developer, we hope the central government to relax the lending rule. But we as a developer, of course, we will help. I mean, we allow for easy payment to the purchaser,
Jeffrey Chu of the Paramount Group gives his opinion as well.
And I think one of the things that we cannot do, but I think government can support, is that I also realize that a lot of the younger people who come to the workforce today, they don't have savings. This is very different from the older generation like me. When we started work, we accumulate our savings very fast, and then we have a chance to put 5%, 10% as deposit down payment. But today, a lot of people don't have that. Maybe perhaps the government may want to look at some of the practices in UK and other developed countries where they help to own, maybe putting a 5%, 10% together with the owner as equity to own the property so that they can actually put a stake in a property and to hedge against inflation. So perhaps maybe the government see whether they can allow first-time buyer to actually have this so-called dips that we have been using and quite effective in the years of 2010, 2011 and 2012.
The issue of affordable housing is indeed a complex one with no quick fixes. We hope we've done the topic justice on The Breakfast Grill this year, and we look forward to continue the conversation in the next. As we wrap up, All the interviews you heard today can be found on our BFM app, which you can download from the App Store or Google Play. I'm Brian Fernandez for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.